passage for today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You'll find it on the back of your bulletin. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, help us. We see these words, be perfect. What does that mean? What a struggle. We need you, Lord, this morning. We need you. We need your spirit in our midst as we learn from your word, as we hear from you. Help us and teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So hopefully y'all got some dominoes, right? If you didn't, then there's plenty more in the back here. But I always liked having dominoes. As a kid, I would take them and set them up like this. You know, somebody this morning, they asked me, I forget who it was. They said, you've gotten sunglasses, and now you've gotten dominoes. They asked if I'm cleaning out my children's closet. But no, I'm not just giving away their toys. But we got dominoes here, and it was always fun. You take the dominoes, you know, and you set them up like this, and you do this, and you touch them, and they all fall down, right? We all know what dominoes do. Believe it or not, it wasn't probably until middle school that I knew that dominoes was actually a game that you play. I just kind of thought dominoes were something that you take and you set them up like this and you knock them over. And this is called the domino effect. I'm sure you've heard of that. That's where this comes from. And it causes this chain reaction, this thing where one end starts and the other end picks it up the rest of the way. And hate and anger can be like a domino effect. It can be caused by a chain reaction. When one person hates another person, who hates another person, who hates another, and it goes on and on and on down the line until finally it reaches its end, inevitably in hurting someone else down the road. There's a domino effect to retribution and to hate. When someone punches me, I want to punch them back. I want to fight back. When someone insults me, I'm going to find the best insult I can and throw it back in their face. When someone hates me, I want to hate them too. And none of this leads anywhere good. There is no good place where this leads. In our passage for today, Jesus is going to talk about retribution and love for your enemies. And here's the thing about the domino effect. It only takes one person to step out of that chain in order for the domino effect to stop. It only takes one person to say, I'm not going to pay back hate for hate. I'm not going to pay back anger for anger. I'm not going to pay back a punch for a punch, in order for that to stop, so that no one else may be hurt along the way. And that's what Jesus is going to talk about with us today in our passage. So let's dive in. First thing he says is, eye for an eye. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This is from Deuteronomy 19 and Exodus 21. If someone does something bad to me, I need to go and do something equally as bad or worse to them. That's the attitude you hear in this world. Get your payback. Go out there, go after them, attack them back. And we look at the Old Testament and what Jesus is quoting here, and we look at this and we say, wait, eye for an eye? Tooth for a tooth? Isn't that exactly the same thing as the world is saying? Go out there and attack people when you can? But we have to remember something. In the Old Testament, the law was given by God to limit our sin, to limit the sin. And so what's happening in Jesus' time and in the Old Testament time is that if somebody stole $5 from you, you would go and steal 10. If someone gave you one black eye, you would go and give them 2. If someone slapped you across the face, you would slap them back twice. People were escalating these feuds. They were escalating them out of control to the point of hurting each other more and more each time as it went back and forth, creating this domino effect. So really, the best way to read this is what they were saying in the Old Testament was only take an eye for an eye. Only. Don't do more harm to someone. But if you feel you must pay them back, only take as much as they took from you. But now here comes Jesus, and he's going to give us that new lens to look at this a different way. He says, "You have heard that it is said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek as well." Do not resist an evil person. Grace and mercy and kindness should go beyond evil behavior. Don't retaliate. Don't look for payback. Show them grace and mercy. Romans 12:19. "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Do not take revenge. But not only don't take revenge, don't pay back, but there's a specific behavior you need to adopt when someone attacks you, insults you, slaps you. And Jesus gives us 3 examples in our passage. The first one is this, verse 39. "If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek as well." So if you get slapped on the right cheek, all right, so this is a backhanded slap. You would backhanded slap with your right hand. That's what you would do. So you can imagine I'm coming like this. I'm going to hit you on the right cheek. Now the pain was probably pretty bad of getting slapped in the face, but the point wasn't the pain. The point is that it was an insult. They were insulting you by taking their hand and slapping you across the face. It was this insult. And so Jesus says, if someone is going to insult you, what should you do? Give them the other cheek as well. Let them insult you a second time. Let them come back with their other hand and slap you across the other cheek as well. Let them continually insult you. Don't fight back. Don't get caught up in a battle of insults. Don't get standing there toe-to-toe with somebody and throw insults at them, because what does that have to do with God? How does that reflect God when we do that? It doesn't. But let's be honest, that's really hard. Right? Nobody wants to stand there and be insulted, I don't think. We don't want to stand there and take insults from people. We want to step up and prove ourselves and provide the best insult we can to get back at them. Especially if it's something to do with my Christian faith. I don't want people to insult my faith. I don't want to be persecuted for my faith. I'm going to take a guess here. Now, I don't have any proof about this. I have no way to prove this, but I'm going to take a guess that nobody in the history of the world has ever come to know the Lord because they were out insulted by somebody else. Am I right? I can safely say that. When we get in this war of words, no one is going to say, "Oh, you called me a fool. Praise Jesus. I believe in the Lord now." That's not what's going to happen. It only leads down a destructive path. It continues the domino effect, the chain of events that happens. Remember what Jesus said just a few verses ago in his same sermon, verse 11 of chapter 5. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad." Rejoice and be glad. Don't fight back. But if they're insulting you for your faith, rejoice and be glad, because you are living a life worthy of the calling that you have received. So the first thing that Jesus says, when someone insults you, give them the other cheek as well. Let them keep going. Don't get caught up in this battle of insults. It's not glorifying to God. It doesn't lead anyone to Christ. Just let it go. Verse 40, the second example. "If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well." So this is the second example already in 40 verses of Jesus telling us don't go to court. Don't take people to court. He says in the first example a few verses earlier, try and reconcile with the person before you've made it to court. And in this example, he says, just give them what they want. Don't bother going to court. Just give them what they want. It's like Jesus doesn't want us to go to court or something like that, it appears. That's not typically what happens when we go to court, right? When we're there, we want to settle things. I want what's mine. I want to take from this person to get rightfully what is mine. And that's what we battle with. But Jesus says, don't bother with that. Don't bother with that. Let me read this again. This translation's not so great. Let me read this in another way. If anyone wants to sue you and take your undergarments, hand over your coat or your cloak as well. Let me read that again. If anyone wants to sue you and take your undergarments, hand over your cloak as well. Why is that a better translation? Well, your undergarments were basically worthless, right? No one's going to want to take your undergarments. I think we can understand that. And so if someone's taking you to court to try and get some small amount, some worthless thing from you, just let them have it. In addition to that, give them something better, like your cloak. Your cloak was invaluable. Your cloak was important. Your cloak was not something you just freely gave away. That was your outer covering, the thing that you wrapped around yourself that gave you protection. And he says, if someone's going to take you for a little thing, give them even more than what they're asking you. Show them even more grace and even more mercy. Just give them more. Give them more. It's kind of a ridiculous example. If someone took you to court for $100, and you would say, all right, I'll give you the 100, but here's another 1,000 on top of the 100. I'm sorry, here you go. No one's going to do that. No one's going to do that. No one's going to be sued for one thing and then give them even more. But Jesus says, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. Why? Why? Well, I think it comes from this idea that Jesus will come up to a little later. He says, don't worry, God will provide. Amen. Don't worry, God will provide. He will provide back what you have lost. Matthew 6, verse 28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, how will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So why worry, he says. Why worry? Don't worry. God will provide. If you're worried about holding on to that cloak, don't be, he says. Just give it away. Give it away. Give it to that person because God will provide back for you. Because why? Because God owns everything anyway. It's all his anyway. He will provide it back for you. Don't get caught up in the battle over stuff because God has more than anyone else. And he is free to give that back to you. So he says, just give, give, give. So the third example is verse 40. If any, 41, I'm sorry. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. So I'm guessing sometime in your life, you've been asked to do something that you didn't want to do. And what is your response often? Muttering under our breath. It was a waste of time. I don't want to do this. This is so stupid. We get angry. We get upset about it. We get bitter about it. But Jesus says, you know what? Not only should you do the disliked demand, but go beyond what is asked. Do more than what is asked. Give of your time and your energy doubly as much as what is being asked of you. And I think that kind of connects in two ways. First off, we hear often in the scriptures, don't think of yourself better than anyone else. Because really what you're saying is, when you say no or you grumble about it, what you're saying is my time is more valuable than you. That's essentially what you're saying. And Jesus says, don't think of yourself better than anybody else. Don't do that. Instead, give freely. Give more. Do more. And the second thing, I think, that comes in here is by doing this, by showing this person love and doing more than what they've asked, you could win them over. You could win them over to the Lord. You could win them over and they would say, wow, look at this person. I know they don't want to do this, but they're choosing to do it anyway. In fact, they're doing more than I've asked them to do. What is special about them? What is unique about them? Why would they choose to do this? And that ties into the next part, verse 43, love of our enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Love your neighbor, Leviticus 19:8. Hate your enemy, not in the Bible. Not in the Bible, believe it or not. So what's Jesus talking about? Well, apparently the rabbis and the teachers of the time were quoting this, saying, if you're going to love your neighbor, you got to hate your enemy. That's what you got to do. And that's what the people would hear, to love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But Jesus says that's not good enough. The new lens is this. But I tell you, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Not only don't pay back, don't retaliate, don't fight back, don't trade insult for insult, don't do any of those things, but also pray and work for the good of those who are against you. So not only don't try and fight back, but pray for those who stand in opposition to the things that you stand against, or stand in opposition against you. Pray for those who persecute you. Why? So that, he says, we may be children of our Father in heaven. So that we may be children of our Father in heaven. So listen to this. When we love those who hate us and pray for those who persecute us, we are behaving like our Heavenly Father. When we love those who hate us and pray for those who persecute us, we are behaving like our Heavenly Father. God hates sin and hates evil, but He loves people. He loves His creation, so much so that He sent His only Son into this world to die for this sinful, broken creation. So let's ask the question, how does God love His enemies? Verse 45. He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is a really profound statement that Jesus says here. This is an idea called common grace. Common grace, that God's grace is poured out on this world for everybody in very tangible ways. One of them is that the sun rises and the sun sets. The sun doesn't stop rising on evil people. The sun continues to rise and it continues to set all over this world. The rains continue to fall in the city of Detroit. It rained this past week. It didn't rain especially hard on evil people. It rained evenly everywhere. God allows these rains to come and the sun to come. It's part of His common love for all His creation. That is how He loves His enemies. He allows these things to continue on in this world by His grace. God does not retaliate, but He allows opportunities for people to come to know His Son, Jesus Christ. Judgment is going to come one day, but judgment is not retaliation. That's different. God is freely giving His mercy and His grace in this life so that people would turn to worship Him. So Jesus digs in even more. He says, if you love those who already love you, where's the reward in that? Nothing. Even the tax collectors are doing that. Even tax collectors do that. If you only talk to people and associate with people who share your beliefs, well, even the pagans do that. What's the value of that? Let me tell you what, as Christians, we have a really hard time with that. We like to hang out with other Christians all the time. Why? I mean, I get it, but why? We're here to be a light into this world, to speak into the darkness, to lead people and tell them about truth. But if we're only around other Christians, well, what good is that? I mean, don't get me wrong. We need to fellowship. We need to be together. We need the encouragement. But that can't be 24/7 every single day. If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Go out into the world. And he ends with this powerful statement, verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now people say all the time, well, Jesus never said to be perfect. Well, actually He did. It's right here. He said, be perfect. But what does He mean? What's He saying? He says this. There's two things when we talk about perfection, as Jesus says right here. First off is unity in spirit with God. And the second thing is total obedience to God. To be perfect means to be united in spirit with God. What God is calling you to do, you go and do. You are so close and intimate with God that you hear Him, you listen to Him, you pray to Him, you walk with Him. As you walk down the street, you listen for His Spirit speaking to you, telling you to go left or right. And when He speaks to you, you are obedient to what He says. You are listening and obedient to what He says. That's what it means to be perfect in this sentence. It doesn't mean to never make mistakes. That's not what He's talking about. That's not what perfection is in this way. It means being united in heart and with spirit with God, so that the things that God focuses on are the things that you focus on. The places that God wants you to go, the places you go. To be perfect is to be obedient to Him. And why can we do this? He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The only way we can do this is because we have a heavenly Father who is perfect. It's not in our own power that we can be perfect. It's not in our own power that we can be obedient. It's because of the Spirit who strengthens us and allows us to be obedient to what God has to say. So today is Palm Sunday. I grabbed a palm. I didn't get to wave a palm earlier, so I'm going to wave a palm. Today's Palm Sunday. Today's the day we remember and celebrate when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He gets up on a donkey and he comes in, and the people surround him and they lay down this thing on the ground that they come on, and they wave their palm branches. They say, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, save us. The King is here. He has come to save us. And 5 days later, he's on a cross. Didn't last very long. Jesus comes into town with these waving palm branches, and he begins teaching in the synagogues and preaching on the streets and talking to the religious leaders, and they begin to hate him even more. And they say, who is this guy? What does he think he's saying? How does he think he can teach us like that? And here's the thing. Jesus spends that next week living out exactly what he just told us to do in this passage. See, they take him before the great priest, the high priest, and they slap him across the face. And what does Jesus do? Does he slap him back? No. No, he turns the other cheek. He stays silent. He says, all right, slap me again, because you have no authority over me. You have no power over me. My heavenly Father is the one with the authority. And when he's arrested, the soldiers take him and they bind him up and they make this crown of thorns and they mock him and they insult him and they put this crown of thorns on his head. And does he fight back? Does he punch back? Does he stand toe to toe and trade insults with them? No. He just sits there, allows them to mock him, because he knows he's doing the will of his Father. He's being obedient to what God has called him to. And when he's hanging up on the cross, and he's looking down at the people who literally put him up there, who are literally trying to kill him and are killing him, he looks down on them. Does he hate them? No. In fact, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He prays for his enemies, even on the cross. In the act of dying, of being killed, he is praying for his enemies. See, Jesus does not call us to do something that he would not be willing to do himself. And in our case, he does not call us to do something that he has already done himself. Isaiah says that Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He did not fight back, because he knew he was doing the will of his Father in heaven. He did not lay down insults. He did not stand toe to toe and fight back. He submitted in obedience to the Heavenly Father to the point of death, even death on a cross, it says. And by his death, he paid all our sins, and that we can be forgiven of his work by his work on the cross. Let me read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. He suffered, the righteous one, suffered for us, the unrighteous ones. And he was killed in the body, but brought back to life, raised from the dead. And because he is alive and conquered, we may live knowing that we don't need retaliation in this life. We don't need to worry about how we will get this or that, because our God literally has killed death. He's conquered death. God will provide. So, in life, it's really easy to let those dominoes just keep falling. If I get insulted, let me just insult back. If I get pushed against, let me just push back just a little bit. It doesn't hurt, just a little bit. But Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. Take this domino home, put it on your dashboard of your car, put it by your mirror, do whatever. Every time you see this domino, just remind yourself of this, that Jesus has called you to be the one to step out of the line of that domino effect. He's called you to be the one to step out and say, I'm not going to continue this insulting, this hatred, this pain. I'm going to repay insult with love. I'm going to repay hate with love. I'm going to pray for my enemies. I'm going to pray for those who stand against Christ. I'm going to pray for those who persecute me. I'm going to love everyone I come in contact with. And when we do that, we stop the chain of hatred, and you will become a child of your heavenly Father, of your perfect heavenly Father. Let's pray. Lord, help us. It's so tempting, it's so easy to fall into the struggle of fighting back, of pushing back, of insulting others. Lord, you don't desire that. You desire obedience. You desire us to love your creation. So Lord, help us to love others. Help us to pray for those who are persecuting us. Help us to not insult back, to hate others, but to love all, because you love this world. Help us to speak truth in love. That not only that we show love, but we speak truthfully of who you are, of your great sacrifice, of all that you have done. We love you, Lord. Help us. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be more like our Heavenly Father, to be children of our Heavenly Father, perfect as he is perfect. In Jesus' name, amen.